Amazing. You know, God instituted the entire institution that gives us fathers and mothers. And so today I will speak about fathers, but a little different message, hopefully. You know, whenever you have to speak on a special occasion, you always have to be before the Lord to say, Lord, I want you to give me something, some new nugget, some new insight. People are looking for something, wanting something. So today we're going to see a Heavenly Father's focus, a Heavenly Father's focus. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3. At the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we're going to, through the Holy Spirit, see what new insight and nuggets we can glean as we look at verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, and you know what happens there. Jesus Christ is walking. He has not chosen any disciples as yet. He has not started His ministry as yet. He has not gone to the cross. He has not done a miracle as yet. And he goes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And he is. And we're given some unique insight into, I like to call them, four life lessons for fathers. Verse 16, and when he, Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So those of you who think that the Holy Spirit first descended on Pentecost, read your Bible again. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Eternal God, our Father, as we look into your word, we ask and know that only your Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth. And on this day that the nation has set aside to honor fathers, we're reminded that for many people, it's not an honorable occasion. Many suffer the pain of a dishonorable father. Many suffer the pain of an absent father. And so, Heavenly Father, we need to look at your word to understand truly how to be a father that pleases God. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit guide us into new truths today as we would look at your words afresh. And so hide your speaker behind the cross and fill me with a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit that your word may go out in truth and in power. For it is in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, focus is a very important requirement. And to focus clearly means a world of difference. I had two experiences with focus as I was studying for this that the Lord brought to my mind. The first was as a, I would say, kid, going to Coney Island, and they had the fun house. And you know, when you go in there, they have the mirrors, and you're very tall, long and skinny, or short and fat. And the way they train those mirrors on you, the focus, it was hilarious. It was funny. You left there laughing. You left feeling good. I had another issue with focus that wasn't as nice, and it related to a time that I worked late, and if you work past a certain hour, you were allowed to take a cab ride home. And I had worked till about 11 o'clock. I went downstairs, my cab was there, and usually I'm very tired, but usually when someone else is driving, I cannot sleep. You know, most of us who drive think that we're the best driver on the road. If that was true, we wouldn't have any accidents, right? But as I sat in the cab, I noticed the cab driver kept doing this, going up, like raising himself and looking through the windshield. And so I'm watching him, and we get on the BQE, and there was construction with narrowed the lanes. And you know, there, tractor trailers, cars, everything are there. And there was a tractor trailer alongside of us. Now, there's a certain point where the BQE takes a big curve like this and straightens out. Now, anyone who knows physics knows you do not pass a tractor trailer on a curve. Why? It's going to swing out. He decides to try and pass the tractor trailer. And so as I see him going and I see the tractor trailer swinging, I yelled out, the Lord was gracious because my words were not curse words, but they were like, "Hey, what are you doing? Don't you see the tractor trailer swinging? Slow down and stop." And he hit his brakes. Sure enough, tractor trailer swung all the way to where we were. It came back. He's driving. And he said to me, "You make me so nervous." I said, "I make you so nervous?" And I said to him, "Pull over on the shoulder and call the company and send me another cab." He said, "Oh, I don't know." And I says, "Okay, then you move over and I'll drive myself home." So he moved over and I drove myself home, right? Went up in the driveway, and then he says, "How do I get back to Manhattan?" I was not gracious, I'll be honest. I said to him, "You figure it out." And I opened up the door and I went inside. I told my wife what happened. About a few minutes later, she said, "He's still in the driveway." I says, "He'll eventually," and he left. So the next day I went in and reported. I said, And by the way, when we pulled over and stopped, I realized that he had some of the thickest glasses. And his problem was he couldn't see clearly. His focus was out. And because of that, he was a danger to others. And so when your focus is not right, you become a danger to others. And I want us to focus on fatherhood today from a very clear perspective. We know that there's an issue in our world because even though we celebrate a day with Father's Day, let me say this. You have all sorts of seminars and conferences that the churches give, women's group give, men's group give. But have you ever noticed, when was the last time, women, that you went to a conference that focused on godly fatherhood? Or men, when was the last time that you went to a conference that focused on godly womanhood? No, we have conferences that deal with suffering through pain and how to be better and all of this. And I think when we don't talk about it, we do a disservice to those who are coming up behind us who will one day be fathers and mothers. Because if we, the believer, who call God our Heavenly Father, and we don't celebrate that fact, guess what our children will think? It's not important. So for those of you who are single, for those of you who are not single, for those of you who are parents or grandparents, we want to get an example of godly fatherhood today. Now, when we look at our society, one of the issues is that fathers are not present. But the other issue is that even when fathers are present, they might as well as not be present. There are some homes where they would be better off, the father's so terrible, that they would be better off him not being there. And so where can the average man find out what God requires of father? I remember camp, and this is why I like camp ministries. Children are honest, brutally honest. And there was a young lady named Destiny. And one night after chapel, she came after me. And up there, you know, the grown-ups, they call us Uncle Archie, I have a question. What? She says, I have a problem with God as my father. And I said, why? She said, well, my father, and she went to jail, and he stole, and he did this. So she said, and she was about 15 at the time. She says, I have a problem equating God as a father. And it's because of the example of my father. So when we talk about Heavenly Father, we have to understand some people can't relate to that. Because when you say father, it brings up pain. And so we want to look at the Heavenly Father so we can understand how the earthly father are supposed to interact to children. So let's look at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Jesus is acting in loving obedience to his father. And the Father is disclosing to the world unashamedly of how deeply he loves his Son. And so we have the embrace of the Father, the embrace of the Son, and it radiates with four life-changing truths that address the subject of fatherhood. It meets the basic needs of all children in terms of what a good father should do. So let's see the first thing through the Holy Spirit that happened. The first truth we see in this passage as it relates to fatherhood is that God the Father, don't miss this, is present with his Son. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of that water. At that moment, the heaven was open. We saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, according to verse 16. God the Father was present with his Son. And do you know we need fathers to be present with their children? Okay? Not in the house with the children, but are you present with your children? Are you embracing them, celebrating them? You know, back in the day, the Temptations had a song that says, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. You see, that is the lament of a child whose father is not present. And so the first thing, women, when you're thinking about that person or that special someone who you might want to marry down the road, and if God blesses you with children, is this a person that who will be present and fully involved? At this occasion, God the Father showed up. He was present. He did not abandon his son. The Bible tells us when Jesus came up, the Holy Spirit descended and rested on him. Don't miss this. When Jesus came in human form, the Bible lets us know that he did not think it to be robbery to be God, but he cloaked that deity. In other words, he was not going to use his deity. He would subject himself as a human being to be an example to us of how we should subject ourselves. And before he begins his ministry, the Holy Spirit descends on him to empower him. Well, isn't Jesus? Yes, Jesus is God, but he's setting the example that human Jesus, and he's letting human us know that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you have nothing. And so his ministry is about to begin, and the Holy Spirit shows up. It also shows the unity within the triune God. Father, Son, and Spirit present together. God the Father was there. Why? His voice came from heaven. God, the Spirit of God, was there. For we see him in bodily form descending on the Son. And so it's important, fathers, those of you listening, that you have to be present and active in your home. Yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are barriers that seek to keep fathers from being present with their children. However, you don't have the luxury of wimping out. Your children need you. Make an inward resolve to fight through the obstacles. Our brother just said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God was present with his son, and he can give you the grace, strength, and courage to be present with your children. A good father is a present father. Second thing we see is God the Father acknowledges his son. In this passage, we see the Father acknowledging the Son. He thunders these words, "This is my beloved Son." Speaking from heaven, God the Father makes a bold declaration to the world saying, "This is my Son." He says, no one make any mistake about it. He belongs to me. I am his father. He is my son. God the Father leaves no ambiguity surrounding his relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus is clear, so to speak, on who his father is, and so were those who heard the Father speak. In our fatherless culture today, children and adults are longing to hear these life-giving words. This is my child. Do you know how many children grow up being denied by their father? Being denied. Not knowing who they are. And then when they do see them, the Father denies them. But God does not deny the Son. And for those of you that may have been denied, God does not deny you either. Okay? God does not deny his Son, and God acknowledges his Son. And there's a ritual in the Jewish tradition called the act of redemption. On a child's 31st day, a child is brought to the rabbi in the presence of family and guests, and the father approaches the altar with the child. He's asked, do you desire to leave this child or redeem him? If the father chooses to redeem the child, he hands a special coin to the rabbi. The rabbi pronounces three times in the presence of the company of people, "Your son is redeemed." Afterward, the child is returned to the father. Now, this is very significant because the father publicly acknowledges that he accepts full responsibility for his son before all the people. Second, the son grows up knowing that he had a father that had a choice to leave him or redeem him. Knowing that he has a father who wanted him and chose him will give this child great strength. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. It relates to us when we get saved. But when the fullness, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, you and I, who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. How did Peter say you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold? And so if you have a pain of a father leaving you, your heavenly father says, "I love you so much, I redeemed you. I am not only present with you, I am going to acknowledge you." And that's a great benefit, knowing that the pain of an absent, non-declaring earthly father can be wiped away, but from a heavenly father who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's always present. And not only that, he redeems us. He redeems us and calls us sons. He calls us daughters. He embraces us. And just as God acknowledged his son, fathers, we are to acknowledge our children. The third thing we see is this: God the Father loves his son. Verse 17, "This is my beloved." This is my one and only son who I love. This is my son who I love. Can you imagine hearing that from your father? "Son, daughter, I love you. I love you. I love you." And you know what Jesus said in John 17:23? God the Father said, what? "This is my son whom I love." And Jesus in John 17:23 says, "As the Father loves me, so he loves you." So do you have the pain of a father who was never there to love you? God says, "I love you." The Father of the universe says, "I love you. I love you." He's present. He acknowledges. And he loves him. God desires the best for us. The fourth thing is, God the Father affirms his son. Watch this. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Affirmation is powerful, and we need it. Time will not permit me to talk about all the things, but I find the phrase of this text so amazing. God tells the world that Jesus is his son, whom he loves, but he affirms him, and that he is well pleased. Think about it for a moment. As I said earlier, he has not preached the sermon. He has not healed one sick person. He has not raised one dead person. He has not cast out any demons. He has not called out any disciples. He has not died on the cross. He has not risen from the grave. However, the Father validated him, not for what he has done or for the future works he will do. The Father affirms Jesus solely because of who he is, his beloved Son. Fathers, do you affirm your children? Do you look at your child in spite of how they may act or whatever and say, son, I love you. I'm so happy I have you. I am so pleased that you're my son. You know, I was sitting, and I thank Brother Nev. I don't think he's here. Oh, he's over there. And he would go with my dad and other brethren to national religious broadcasters. And they had a huge convention. And this was before, you know, you had to weigh your suitcases and all of that stuff. And they would come back with boxes of books. And if you remember, that library back there was kind of like an adult library, and my mom would set up the books, and we would have all kinds of tons of books. They, you know, a lot of the vendors didn't want to take the books, so we would just take many Christian books. And they would have a big lunch hour, and we would have speakers. You know, I heard Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll, and others. And I was able to hear them because they, as I grew up and they saw I was interested in the things of the Lord, they invited me to that convention. And at the table was a young guy, and I'm just talking to him. I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from Chicago. What are you doing? He said, well, I just graduated from college, and now I'm going off to seminary school. I said, oh, that's an interesting way. I said, why did you do it that way? He says, well, I felt I've been called to serve, and when I spoke to my leaders, they said even Paul knew how to do something. And you might have a congregation where you might need to work or teach others how to work. So he went off and or help out in some way. So he majored in accounting and finance, and I says, that sounds interesting. He says, that's not the half of it. He says, in my church, he says, they go to the single mothers and they say, you know, would you like a spiritual father for your children? And he says, and they would have to pick out two. He said, and they had the responsibility of talking with me, guiding with me. He says, but here's the kicker. He says, the mothers would have to agree. If I needed disciplining, mothers would call the fathers, they would show up, and the mothers would go out and not be there. And this was before the kids would tell you, I'm a dial 911. Okay? And he says, do you know what it is to act up and have three huge men coming through the door? He says, but that kept me on the straight and narrow. He says, it was an affirmation of not only my mother's love, but the love that these men had for me. So even though I didn't know who my biological father was, I had affirmation from these spiritual fathers. And we need that affirmation. Fathers, if you're here today with your children, look at your children and say, I am well pleased that I have you. Right now, will you do that for me? Look at them and say, I am so pleased that I have you. Affirm them. Let them know that, listen, and God affirms us, doesn't he? That same portion, Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, he says, to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. But here's the affirmation, verse 6, and because you are sons, God says, make no doubt about it. Don't wonder if you're adopted or not. Because the next statement is, once I say it, it's done. And so because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see that? Not only are you a son, you're not a second-class citizen. You're heirs and joint heirs through Christ. All that he's done for Christ, he does for you. What an amazing affirmation from God. Those of you that don't have fathers who may have never affirmed you or acknowledged you, you have a heavenly Father who's not only willing to do that, but much more. And you know what he says? All you need to do is come. Just come just as you are. You don't have to fix yourself up. You don't have to. Just come just as you are and let me take over. So if you have a father wound today, your earthly father may have failed you, but your heavenly father will not. He promises to be the father you've always been looking for and much more. And just as he opened heaven to proclaim his love for his son, he will touch the pain in your heart and heal those wounds. And today, if you had an earthly father that reflected the heavenly father, don't ever stop praising God for it. My father died in 1994, but I thank God he was a godly father. And to this day, all that I am, I thank God he poured that into me. Poured into me the word of God when I rebelled against God. Poured into me his love. Poured into me so when I could look in him and he would say, here's what the word of God says. I could never say to him, you're not doing it. If you're saved, that's the type of father God expects you to be. To be an example to the world from an earthly perspective of what a heavenly father is all about. So how do I start? Well, you can't be a godly father until you're adopted. You know that? You can't be a godly father until you are an adopted son. That's what we just read in Galatians. Right? He says, if you're not adopted, you're a slave. Slave to what? Slave to sin. But now that you are adopted, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And so, coming to God through simple faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard people say this, and I want to address it for those of you who may never step into a church again. People say we're all God's children. That is a lie. And I'll prove it to you. In John chapter 1, we are all God's creation, but we are not all his children. All right? John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what it means to be born again. You have a natural birth, and you need a spiritual birth. And so you're not a child of God because daddy was a pastor, so I automatically now am a pastor. No. That's the will of man. You're not a child of God because, oh, my whole family been serving in the church for years. No, there's no bloodline that makes you a child of God. It's not the will of the flesh, nor of blood, nor the will of man. You don't become a child of God by going to seminary. Okay? The will of man. I confer this doctorate of theology on you. And the man don't even know simple truths of salvation. You are a child of God because you are born of God. Okay? And you become born of God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Those who say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, recognize that without God's mercy, they are separated from God. And because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary, simple faith in accepting the punishment that he bore on the cross for you, coming like a child, the Bible says you are born again. You have a new birth. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things become new. That's what being born again means. You don't go to church to be born again. Religion can't make you born again. It's faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Or as he says, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except they come through me. Okay? So if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you may have thrown up a lot of prayers there, but they ain't going through him. Okay? The prayer that God wants to hear you pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I receive you as into my heart as my Savior. I will stop doing it my way, and I will follow you. I repent. Doesn't mean you're sorry. It's more than that. Not only am I sorry for what I did, but I am stopping doing it, and I'm turning from doing it, and now I wait for you to lead me. The Bible says if you believe that in your heart, and that Christ rose from the dead for you, if you confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. That's what being saved is all about. Okay, you don't go and say five Hail Marys and whatever, whatever. Okay, that's not what being saved is about. And I'll show you something very simple too, right? To show you how messed up religion has people. Okay, the other day they were talking about making someone a saint who their body did not decay or something to that effect, right? But I find something interesting. In every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to members in the church, you know what he said? To the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Thessalonica, to the saints. Well, they can't be dead, or else they can't read his epistle. You see, you don't become a saint because you die and someone declare you to be a saint. You become a saint because you're born again. And saint simply means you're set aside for God's use. But the choice is yours. You can ignore God. He's not going to force his love on you. Or you can embrace him. Let's bow our heads as we close. Perhaps you're here today and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And he's letting you know that you need to be born again. Not go to church, not be a good person, but to be born again. That means come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it simply means surrendering, as was sung in the duet, surrendering to God all that you are, all that you have, and opening up your heart and allow the Savior to come in. There's nothing magical, there's nothing special. It's between you and the Spirit of God. And if you're here today and you want to surrender, it's very easy. Just say, Heavenly Father, I surrender. I know I'm a sinner on my way to hell, but Jesus Christ paid my price on the cross. And I open up my heart and receive him in as Savior. He died for me and he rose for me. And I turn from the way I was going and I want to follow him. And if you just said that to God under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, you shall be saved. That's all it takes, is a full surrender. And if you're saved, have you surrendered all? Yes, you surrendered. But have you surrendered your will completely? Is there something you're holding on to that you still want to do your way and not allow God to guide you? You've got to surrender. So I pray as we close that on this Father's Day, that God would have given you a new message, a different message, a new insight from him. My prayer is this will always enable us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's inexhaustible. Every time we open it, we see it anew and afresh as your Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And Father, you know every head that's bowed before you and what their relationship with their earthly father was like. But we thank you, O God, that those of us who may have pain can move beyond the pain, knowing that we have a heavenly Father that will never leave us nor forsake us, that affirms us to the world. A Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And for those of us who had examples of godly fathers, oh Father, we just thank you that you allowed them in our lives. For we know it is through their life they enabled your Holy Spirit, using your word, to convict us and convince us as we saw the godly examples they led. And we would not take that for granted, for we know so many don't have that. But Father, most importantly, we think of those who may have come in today not having a Heavenly Father. But perhaps they prayed that prayer and allowed Christ to come in, and now they're adopted children of God. And they can leave here knowing that they have a Father in heaven who loves them so much that he sent his son on the cross to die for them. And so, Father, we just present this prayer in and through the name of our risen Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Father's Day, men and women. And may the Lord bless you for his name's sake. Amen.